Profile with Wamboi Mburu. This is a repeat of Profile that was aired on Wednesday.
So let me introduce to you Pastor Victoria Njoroge. Now, if you're listening to us from Gashie, you just might know this lady, this woman of God. She is co-pastor, together with her husband, of Overcomers Family Church, located at Gashie. And Victoria, thank you so much for coming and for being willing to share your story. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
How is Gashie?
Gashie, we are doing well. We are preaching and we can see the hand of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's take it to where the story begins.
I was born in a family of 7 children, and when I was 10 years, my dad passed away. Unfortunately, my dad was also an orphan. The mother had died when my dad was 6 months old, and the father now, my father didn't marry again, so he just left the kid in the hands of the small sister and just decided to go and have his life alone. And so it was very difficult for my father. So when he grew up and married...
So your father was brought up by his sister?
Yes.
A 6-year-old?
No, he was alone. Now a sister to my grandfather.
Oh.
Him, he was alone.
He was the only child?
Yes. He was the firstborn.
Firstborn, mother dies when he is 3 years old.
6 months.
Six months old. The father can't handle it.
Yeah.
He just takes off.
He takes off. And you know, those days there were no phones. So you could hear, I used to hear the other grandfather saying they could hear he has been located at Nyahururu. By the time they write a letter, ifike huko amehama. He's in another different
place. So he basically just disappeared.
He came back when my father was married and with 2 children.
No. That was a news item.
Yes.
Did people cover that?
They did.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
He came back home.
Yes. When my father was married.
For the first time after he left.
Yes. And that is when my mother knew him. Now the father-in-law.
Oh, what did he say? I'm sorry. This is an interesting part. When he came back, what did he say? Well, what did he have to say about where he had been?
We may not know, but I think like the prodigal son, he was just received back. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
But so here is your father growing up with an auntie now.
Yeah, with an auntie.
Who had a family?
Then the auntie got married in Rift Valley, that is Nakuru,
okay.
Banita.
Yeah.
Now that is the grandmother that we know. So, but after some time now, when she started having her own children, now the father had to come back. This way now.
Your dad.
Yeah, my dad had to come back to live with the other families, and life was not very good for him. But somehow when he got married, my grandfather, now the father to my mother, took him, and they were given a piece of land to build. At least a house, they were given a cow, I hear 2 trees to burn charcoal, at least for them to start life. So my grandfather...
That's your mother and father now we are talking about.
Yeah, now in the hearts of my grandfather.
Of your mom's...
Of my mom's side.
Your grandmother's side.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is where they started.
Hey, quite some connections there, networks there.
Mm.
But so he settled where his mother had come from.
Yes.
All right.
That is where he settled. And with God's grace, at least, they worked hard. And God at least gave him a plot where now he was able to build his own house. You know, living with your in-laws is not a very good picture. And that is where he started. So, you see, now my dad had no inheritance. He had to start from square one or zero even.
With 2 trees?
With 2 trees, a calf, and at least somewhere. But now at 10 years, he is dead.
No, you brother, are 10 years?
What, I was 10 years.
What born are you? What number?
Third born. Yes, in a family of 7. So behind me, there were 4. In fact, we were like a staircase. To go to Mefutana to live. Like my small sister, I think she was 1 year old.
And then his wife dies.
And now the father died. Now my mother had nobody to turn to. Because at that time, my grandfather was aged and he was sick actually. And life was not smooth.
For you now?
For us. And for my mother. I used to hear my mother cry at night. Telling God, why did you allow this? And then something happened, I think, during Matanga. My mother overheard some people saying, now these are the people who will be employing as house girls and shaba boys and all that. And she had. So those are the words she used to repeat every day. God,
to
remember,
God.
And she could mention their names. Remember so-and-so said that they will be employing my children. They'll be doing what? And God, don't let it happen.
Oh.
And she would cry the whole night.
Crying and praying.
Yes, crying
for
and praying.
For you people.
Yes, now for the children. Because we were very young even to understand what was happening. And here she is and she's alone. So she used to wake up in the morning. My dad had a small shop.
By this time, they have a shop.
Yeah, because when they burned chaku with the 2 trees that they were given, they used to buy 2 kilograms of sugar and like that. So they started their small shop. So by this time, at least it was growing. And then by this time, he had acquired some majani chai somewhere where they were picking. Though it was not theirs.
But so the way least, you kind of rent.
Yes.
I know that arrangement.
Yeah, so but yeah. At least by this time, they had something. So my mother would wake up at 6, go open the shop, up to 8, close the shop, come and take the cow, go to pick tea, and feed the cow some farming. Then again, at 3, she comes back, prepare something for us so that after school, we'll find something in the house, and then go back again to the shop. That was her life.
Very, very hard.
Yeah.
Hard working.
It was hard work. Yeah. So we had to learn some responsibilities.
Early
in life. At 12 years, I think I knew everything. Picking tea, washing clothes, fetching water, call it everything. She taught us hard work. At your age, even if the only thing you can do is to collect utensils, you know, from the table and wipe, that was your responsibility.
You were supposed to do that.
Everyone was supposed to be doing something.
Yeah.
And I want to thank God because of that. Because like me, my mother taught me what it means to be a woman.
Early in life.
And I think that's why I have a prayer ministry today for ladies.
You
because
do.
I was taught what it means to be a woman and to stand as a woman. And
you were the first girl?
No.
Oh, the others were girls too?
The first born is a girl.
Yeah.
The second born and a boy.
And then yourself.
And then myself.
All right.
Yes.
All right. So you knew how to do all those chores?
Yes.
Those ones you can do closing your eyes.
Of course.
To this day?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
So we continued.
Were you going to school?
Yeah, we were going to school.
She was able to sustain you.
She was able to sustain us. And we went to school. But of course, you know what it means having 7 children and you don't have resources. And she needed to feed us, to clothe us. And there were. And now here is my grandfather who is sick, bedridden, actually with a stroke.
Oh.
So it was very hard for her. So I am the only
one. And grandmother not there?
Not there.
So she's taking care of grandfather?
Yes.
And then 7 children.
Yes.
Grandfather was staying with you in your house?
Yes. Not in our house. He had his small kaluma outside.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So now, she struggled. At least I'm the only one who managed to go up to Form 4. But at least even if the others didn't manage there, God has blessed them. Because that is why I have said that with God you can become even what your education cannot allow you to become.
Amen.
Because I think because of my mother's prayer, God ensured that he didn't put her to shame. Everyone is settled down.
Those words were not fulfilled.
Yes. God ensured.
Amen.
That she was not put into shame.
Amen.
And of course, when we were growing up, you know, as students, when you go to school, this one come with the bread, this one come with the water, and you know you cannot afford. And I used to tell God, when I grow up, I don't want my children to be brought up the same way I've been brought up. I don't want my children to miss, and I would have the list of A, B, C, D. You know, the things I was feeling like as a child, I wished I had, but it was not possible.
Mm.
But one thing that my mother ensured is that we never slept hungry, we never walked naked. Even if she used to buy us clothes once a year, that is when bonus, no, e-bonus.
Yes.
That is when we used to get clothes. But at least she ensured every year.
You had a new dress.
Everybody got something.
Beautiful.
At least a shoe, a dress, a sweater like that.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Such an amazing woman. Where is she now?
She's in Gatundu. She's doing very well.
That's Gatundu.
We celebrated her birthday on 28th of December, 70 years.
Yeah.
She's doing very well.
Ah.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you grew up.
Yeah.
And at what point do you get to meeting the Lord?
I met the Lord after my Form 4. That was December 89. On 31st December, I went for a kesha at PCA Church in our place. Okay, those days, I think our place was a bit remote because the people whom we knew were saying were born again were the Wakorinus. This white turban. So every time there was a crusade, it was for those people. So we would go there. And when they were singing, tears were just flowing from my eyes. And I was too young to understand. So my brothers and sisters were wondering, why do you do this? Why are you crying? Anytime they started singing, I could not understand. And that particular day on that 1st December when we went for Acacia, I remember it was my uncle who was preaching, and he preached about Nicodemus, that you must be born again.
Ah.
So even if I didn't know what it meant to be born again, when I went back home, I took a rosary. I prayed for myself and I told God, now I am born again. And the following day, I visited another lady whom I used to hear.
That she's born again.
That she's born again. So I told her, I am born again. Then she asked me, what do you mean? I told her, yes, I prayed a rosary and you know those prayers we used to pray. And now I believe, according to what was preached, because unfortunately when he preached, he didn't call for an altar call. So he just preached.
Your own uncle?
Yes. He just preached, and because those days salvation was not received well. In fact, when I told my mother that I've gotten saved, it was another story. I was told to choose either to live there or if I want to remain saved, I take my belongings and go. But because I was feeling convicted that this is what I want, I told my mother I am ready to go. And I packed my things and I didn't know where I was going anyway. But somehow, one of my grandmothers, now the extended family from her side, was born again and was now in that PCA church. So she's the one who came and talked to my mother. I remember there was one of the uncles who was sent to me to tell me they cannot allow such a thing in such a big family because it's a shame. You know, those days, the born-again people were known for, you know, going to the marketplace and beating drums and whatever. That is, now they were imagining me in that group as young as I was.
It would be a shame to them.
Yeah, they were feeling it would be a shame to them. But at least we talked, then I was told, then from today, you'll never go to another church. So I used to stay at home. When I would wake up in the morning, on a Sunday morning, prepare them to go for mass, then I would remain.
At home?
Yeah. Because, okay, as much as it was not bad to go there, you know, the way people talk to you and tell you, you are telling us we are saved and you are coming to this church, then you are not. So I realized, oh, does it mean then, if you are born again, you are not supposed to go to this church? So I stopped going. I remained at home for 2 years.
Oh.
Yes. Until I went to college. So when I went to college that time now, I got a chance to go to the Christian Union, and that is where now I started growing, slowly getting to know. You know, even then, I didn't know what this salvation I entered into was about. But at least when I went to college, God gave me a chance to go to college. That is when now I realized, oh, you mean this is what it means to be born again. And God helped me. By the time I left college, I was preaching. I had started preaching. I remember one time I attended with Munelson's meetings at Uhuru Park, and she spoke a word of knowledge and said, there's somebody here who have gone through this and this, and because you are born again, God is saying in 2 weeks' time, your mother will get saved. And she will receive you well, and from that time, you'll be given a chance now to go to church. And
for
that is
all this praying your mother used to do, she wasn't born again.
She wasn't. But she was living a life of born-again Christian. Because I remember when my dad passed away, there were some men who were coming to our home, late hours. And any time there was a knock in the door, my mother would pull me as sleepy as I was, then she would make me sit there. Then, of course, you know, now they were thinking I was not hearing what they were telling my mother. And then my mother was telling them, no, me, I'm in the hearts of God. My children, they were telling me, we want to educate these children. We want to help you to buy CG Majani Chai. Then my mother was telling them. I know she didn't know I could remember this, wherever she is. So I could hear. Then anytime I tried to do, she would do me like this. Then they were telling her, "Si upeleke mtoto akalale." Then she was telling them, "No, she's not sleepy until the man goes." It was not easy because, of course, she was young. It's just that she gave birth very fast.
But she was a young.
She was a young lady, and it was not easy because you know now, you know in Ushago where the brothers will sleep, so it is only the ladies who are sleeping in the main house. So we are the only ones who are there when
this would happen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
But she stood.
She stood.
And she educated you.
In fact, even some of the people that were coming to talk to her about it were ladies. Like one particular lady whom I remember, the husband had died, and her, she seemed like she was doing very well. So she was telling my mother, "Weka hapa ukiwa mjinga."
Oh.
Kuna wanaume wa kuelimisha watoto. Kuna wanaume wa kufanya ABCD. But my mother would tell her, no, I cannot do such a thing. In fact, like Joseph, in the eyes of my God, and she was not born again. That is what amazes me today now. That she was being offered help. She was not willing to take. She was willing to work hard and struggle.
Until her children stood.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that must have impacted you.
Yes. As I saw that. It because was doing something in my heart.
Yes, actions do speak louder than words.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
So looking back, how did that shape you to who you are today?
One, it taught me to trust God. It taught me the importance of prayer. It taught me the importance of fearing God and, you know, just surrendering to God, that even if there's somebody who is willing to offer you help, so long as it is not in the straight way, just trust it in God.
Amen.
And God will come for you. You don't have to depend on men. You
depend
know, like the man who was in Bethsaida, waiting for a man to put him in water so that he could receive the healing. And even when Jesus came, he was telling Jesus, I have no man to put me in water when the angel come and trouble the water.
That's interesting, because I thought about that scripture today.
Yes.
Yes, what are you saying?
So, so he knew the answer to his healing was getting into the water.
Getting a person and to get me into the water.
And I can imagine for 38 years, he knew the process very well. Maybe even the people who came, he's the one who was inducting them. By the way, here, this is what happens. Get ready. Anytime the age, you can come and...
and start the water.
Start the water. And whoever will be the first to get in there, will receive the healing. So the others were doing so and leaving him there 38 years. Him, he remained there. Why? He was waiting for a man. So my mother taught me.
Don't wait for someone.
Yes. Because you see, with God, he doesn't require any raw materials.
No.
His word is enough.
Amen.
He created the heavens and the earth with his word.
Yeah.
He could only say, let there be.
And
what we see today came into being.
Amen.
So I knew even in my situation, so long as I tell God and then God speak a word, that word is able to create what is not there.
Out of that word.
Out of that word. And I have seen it happen.
You tell me more. Tell me more of what situations you've been through and you've just seen God speak the word.
Amen.
Mm. First of all, let me get you speaking about those. But with the issue of that Wairimo, you went to Wairimo's meeting.
Yes.
And she speaks a word of knowledge. Yes. And you feel it's yours.
Yes.
She has described your situation.
Yes. And from that day, I started giving thanks. In fact, when we went back, I was in Kiabu Institute. When we went back, I stood in the Christian Union and I told them, today, that woman of God spoke about me. So from today, let us believe that word, start thanking God together with me. And after those 2 weeks, I'll go home to confirm.
Because she had given us a timeline?
Yes.
She said two weeks.
She said 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I went back, we prayed, we thanked God about it. And after 2 weeks, I went back home. Then my home where we are, it's very near the road. In fact, it is next to the road. So by the time the vehicle is stopping, you can just peep from the house and you see who has alighted. So that is what my mother did. When she saw me, she came running to the gate, hugged me, told me, "Go, praise the Lord, my daughter, forgive me for everything." No,
she was born again.
Yes, we wept with my mother. And I remember there were visitors in the house. We wept and she told me, now I know what it means to be born again. Oh. And now we are together.
What is her story? What had happened to her?
She was just alone. She was praying. Because as I've told you, she has been a very prayerful woman.
Yeah.
And she says that she just had God speak to her.
Okay.
That she needed to give her life to God. That is what she told me. And she got born again.
Praise God.
Yes.
2 weeks later?
2 weeks later, yes.
You confirm?
I confirmed.
Praise God.
And since then, I've seen God.
Tell me more. Tell me more of those situations that we were to get to. Situations where you had to trust God himself.
Yes. In the issue of school fees. Because as I've told you, we were many and my mother was alone and she didn't have much that time. But let me tell you, at no time was I chased away from school because of school fees. Especially now in college. God used to provide. I remember when I was in Form 3, I got sick. I was admitted in Mpisha Hospital. People had to come in to assist my mother. And my mother told me, if the issue is about this schooling, then, because it seemed like there is something that was happening anytime I was in school.
You would get sick.
I would get sick. But when I go home, I'm okay. And you see, to an extent of being admitted in hospital. But I trusted God. I told God, if I'm the one you have chosen to represent all the others, I'll go through my schooling and one day I'll start somewhere and give a testimony of what you're able to do. And one boy, I think I was admitted in hospital twice when I was in secondary school.
What would happen to you?
I had a problem with the stomach.
Oh, the stomach would ache?
Yeah, yeah. I was having a very bad stomachache. And sometimes I was even unable to walk or anything. I couldn't eat and I was just there. But I was treated. And God ensured that I got up to Form 4.
Amen.
It was not easy.
Yeah.
But God helped me. My mother struggled. Whatever little she could get from tea, she would pay, you know, little by little. And sister was bearing, you know, with her until I completed.
Amen.
So I saw God.
Amen.
And, you know, that time I didn't know what God was preparing me for. But today when I look back, I see.
You can see.
I can see.
Yeah.
And I can see, you know, I can speak of the faithfulness of the of my God.
Amen.
I remember when I was going to college, my mother and my grandmother called me and they talked to me. My mother told me, I may not be able to buy you clothes and shoes, which the others will be putting on there. But I request you to close your eyes towards what they'll be putting on. Just bear in mind that you are in the same class with the same teacher. We are going to the same dining hall, so you are not eating different food from them.
No.
The only difference is
clothes and shoes.
And shoes and maybe the hair. And the hair.
Yeah.
But she told me, the reason why I've taken you there is that one day you'll put on what you want, you'll have the hairstyle that you want,
yeah,
and even the vehicle. Maybe, who knows, you'll be the first one to carry me with your vehicle.
Oh.
That is what she told me.
That must have been a very...
Yes. And every time my grandmother would give me 30 shillings.
Yeah.
Every time I come on a holiday when I'm going back, she would give me and repeat those words. And I want to thank God. Because today, at least I can put on what I want.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have beautiful hair.
Thank you.
Yes, you do.
What I felt that I missed that time. Because you see, as a human being and you have eyes, you could see an unusual.
And a growing up girl.
And at that age. But at least what helped me is that I was born again.
Yeah.
So at least I had hope in God that, as my mother told me, one day things will be different.
How did you cope? Let's just go, because, you know, we may be speaking to someone who goes to college. They're able to go to college at the least, but they always feel this feeling of, in terms of how they appear, they always have this feeling of being... standing out, but in a negative way. Yes.
Well, one thing I believe is that God heard my mother's and my grandmother's prayer. Because our boy, even today, we can be with you the whole day, and in the evening when you ask me what you heard, I can't remember. So I think for sure God decided to close my eyes towards seeing what the things that people put on and all that and all that. Because God knew it would disturb me or distract me from my studies. So I never felt like I am not dressing like the others.
No.
At no time, I didn't. My mother ensured that even if this Saturday should bring, you know, a little amount of money, just to ensure that I am sustained there and I got what I wanted.
So to this day, you don't even...
To this day.
What people
imagine I don't. And it does not bother me.
I like that. You're dead to it.
And then, you know, when I was allowed to go to church,
yeah,
I joined Deliverance Church. And those days, tulikuwa tunafunga vitabana maguya pleats. So whatever they were putting on...
the people who are called wagi though.
Yes. Imagine. So they were not a bother to me, because me, I was comfortable with my pleats.
Ah.
Yes.
You were fine.
I was fine.
And
so long as I had God, I was feeling I am okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my heart was contented.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I never longed for what they were doing. No.
All right.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit of your journey towards ministry. What were you taking at, that's Kiambu Institute would be KIST?
Yes.
Kiambu Institute of Science and Technology. Yes. Were you taking?
I did a secretarial course.
All right.
Yes. So I'm a secretary, even today.
By training?
Yes, even today.
You'd still work?
Yes, I'm a civil servant.
Ah.
Yes.
That's why this pastoring is a core pastoring.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more about your journey to ministry.
Okay. One, because of, we learned early how to, you know, to trust God and to pray. Because one thing you'd do, and my mother would almost kill you, is to miss church. Sometimes you'd say, my clothes are not dry, and we would dry on fire. Just to make sure that they are dry and we go to church, you know. So when now I went to KIST, I joined the Christian Union. And there, that time, I don't know today, people were very prayerful. The Christian Union was very prayerful. Every morning we had a morning glory. Lunch hour, we used to have 15 minutes after lunch. And then in the evening, we used to have intercessory prayers. So, and because I was willing, my heart had longed for the 2 years that I was not going to church. I grew. Then they were very good at training now the newborns. And they used to give me a chance maybe to lead, maybe to pray, shaking. But you see, when you shake today, tomorrow you will not shake.
Today you're better. Yes. Tomorrow you're better. Yes.
And I started preaching when I was there. So anytime I would go home on holiday, I would prepare that hot message I had with a certain speaker, you know. Prepare it very well and read the Bible and make sure it is there. So when I go home, I would preach now in the church. And that is how I grew.
Oh.
I started by now evangelism. Then I was also a singer at that time. I was very good in leading praises and worship, especially during crusades. And you know, those were the days you used to have a crusade for 1 week. From Monday morning up to Sunday. We finished the crusade on Saturday evening, then on Monday, that is when you go back home. And that is how I trained. Mm. That is how I trained. So by the time now I finished college, already I was a preacher. When I got employed, I used to preach at Kencom in Valencia. A small girl, not married.
You are one of those people who can preach in the streets.
I've done that.
You've been there, you've done that.
Yes. I've been there, I've done that. I used to go to Kencom and Abasida, lunch hour.
That takes a lot of courage. So alone.
Small girl with my Bible, and people would look at me and wonder. And think, you know. But I was very bold. Those days, I was bold.
What was driving you? Why would you do that?
You know, the love for God. Then I would imagine, why is it that in a family of seven, I am the only one whom God pointed out? Then it means that this God wants me to do something
for him.
For him. Okay. And I was feeling I have a debt to pay God. So I was ready to do anything. As young as I was, in the streets, lunch hour, without care whether you are listening to me or not, I was doing the preaching.
Would people listen?
Some. But I think some wanted to know, is this girl okay or what?
They would pity you.
Yes. They continued. And then I got married. And, okay, before I got married, I remember now when I started preaching. And where I was going to church, it was a bit far from home. And then they said they are going to do a crusade in my home area, in my hometown, so that now we can have a branch there. Because by that time, we were two from our home area, and we could walk for about 1.5 hours going to church.
Oh.
It was a bit far. So they did a crusade. And
that's the deliverance church.
The deliverance church. Uh-huh. They hired a room. Now, in the shopping center, they give us some forms. You know, those days, just forms. And they opened a church. Then they give us a pastor. That pastor was living in Nairobi. Those days, you know, there were no mobile phones or anything. And now people have got born again. Now they are here in the church. And this pastor was supposed to be coming every Sunday and on Wednesday for the Bible study. Then, in our prison those days, matatus were not working on Sundays. So he had to use another route, then cross about 2 or 3
days. Everybody went to church?
Yes. It was church day, Sabbath.
I like that village of yours.
It was special. So many times, he failed to come. And since I'm the only one who is at least a mekaka katika wokovu, so I would find myself
preaching,
doing the Bible study, teaching them songs, leading service as I wait for the pastor, and finally preach. Then after the preaching, of course,
how many are there at that time?
They were allowed 30.
Wow, that's a group.
Yes,
yeah,
allowed 30. Then after the preaching, of course, there are ladies, you know, ladies and issues who wanted to talk to pastor about a certain issue. I would sit down and send to them. And some of them
would respect you.
Yes. Okay. You see, because they found me there and I was doing everything.
Ah.
My boy, before I knew it, I was the pastor. They were calling me pastor.
Bus.
Before ordination.
Hey.
I was the pastor now. Because this pastor of ours sometimes would come once a month.
Because of the transport.
Because
problem.
Of the transport and maybe other things.
Yeah.
No, he was still in another church. He was in ECD. In our deliverance church in ECD.
All right.
So some of them I could feel, no, I am not able to handle. I could take them to my mother, who was not born again by then.
Because there are marital issues.
And my mother was our darling. She was asking, what kind of a church is this? Women are talking to a young girl who is not married and she doesn't understand this thing. But let me tell you, Abu, I think God was preparing me. Anytime a lady started telling me the story, and you know, she would start crying, I was telling God, before this lady finish this story, please give me a word for her.
Oh.
And sure.
You would feel you have a word.
I would open the Bible and read a scripture, then pray. And I would ensure that week I've prayed and fasted for her. Because now if she doesn't believe in me and the God I'm telling them about, it means they will go back wherever they came from. And then on Saturday, that day, they would come and start in church and say, I want to thank God.
It's a testimony.
Yes. And that one would strengthen me and feel, yes,
oh,
I've been called to this thing. And it gave me the power to continue.
Amen.
And it was like that.
So even by the time you're going to Kencom, you're a bit used to ministry issues.
Yes.
All right.
I had been sharpened already. Handling other people's issues, and especially marriage, and I was not married myself.
And I will want to hear about your own journey to marriage.
Okay.
You know, I always feel I need to remove the cap for anyone who preaches out in the streets.
Okay. Yeah.
I always think that takes a lot of courage.
It does.
A special anointing.
Yes. Encourage. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'm just thinking, Victoria, looking back to what you've told us and how you've shared your growing up days, you had to ignore a lot of things growing up.
Yes.
So I guess ignoring the ridicule out in the streets was just part of you.
It was.
Part of the shaping of God.
Yes.
All right.
And you see, when God is shaping you to become something,
yeah,
I think there's something he puts in you. You may not know, but you just find yourself behaving in a certain way, not necessarily knowing that it's God taking you to that direction.
Maybe.
Because God was preparing me for something which I didn't know.
But so even this whole thing of you have to ignore what people are wearing.
Yes.
It starts with simple things. Food.
Yes.
Clothes.
Yes.
And here you are. You can be out in the street and not care.
Yes.
Who is says
listening
what.
And who is not listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have something
inbuilt
now.
Provided I've fulfilled my mission.
Praise
I've
God.
I've been sent out there.
Yes. You know, I really feel like we should tarry there just a little bit. Because there's someone who has never understood that what they were going through was meant to shape them.
Yeah.
For some ministry purposes.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Mm.
Ah, so what happened to you? So you now are in the streets.
Mm.
And then you get married.
Yes. I got married. My husband is also a preacher.
Even by then?
Yeah, even by then. And, you know, those days when we were growing up, especially when there was now the Majimingi and the mainstream, I remember in our church you used to be told you cannot get married to the mainstream. And unfortunately, well, my husband was in the mainstream. He was a friend of my pastor.
Born again.
Born again, yes. But now we were not in the same church. And the thread was you have to get married. You come away in Majimingi, you have to get married in the Majimingi. So when the time came for me to get married, the church disowned me.
Oh.
But fortunately, by then, because I was already working, I had a church, still Deliverance Church, Kawa West. So those are the ones now who told me, don't worry. So long as he is born again, and he was well known to our pastor. Because I remember, even when God confirmed to me that he was my husband, that was the question I asked God. God, you know my church. Why do you want me to get married to him? You see, there were things they were mentioning to us now, you know, your children will be baptized, your children will be done what, and you know us, we don't believe in that. So those are the things now I was telling God. But God told me, you will get married to a pastor who will pastor the church you will give birth to. So it is me to give birth, then he will be the pastor. God told me in the same way, you know, he will be called the father of your children. He will be called the father of the church you will give birth to. So whatever I was going through, it was a preparation that
for
one
ministry.
Day I will give birth to a church which he will pastor. And then I will be a mother now to the church. And at least our pastor encouraged me now from this side. And of course, the last minute when they saw that it is the same Deliverance Church here, they have no problem. They are the only ones who have a problem. They came in the last days.
They and still supported you.
They still came. And they
so they understood.
Yes, they understood that what matters is salvation.
Yeah.
And because I've made up my mind. So whatever will come after that, I will have nobody to blame because they have already warned me, you know.
Oh.
And I got married.
we are coming from far as the body of Christ.
Yes,
as the
body
divisions
of Christ.
Were
those
real.
Days they were great.
They were great. They were real. They
you
were
could
so
not have
petty.
Had anything in that other church because
I know.
Yes,
I know. Mm. Okay,
and now I'm here. I'm married, and now you see now that I am married in a, now we've gone to a new church. Both of us. He left his church. I've left my church. We went to a new church. Both of us. So now we had to sit down. Though I was a preacher, because now here I'm not known. You get me?
Yes, I do.
So I sat down, but the minister was still in me. So anytime we got a chance to go out and preach, we would go and preach. And God decided to prepare me now for the real ministry through a sister-in-law.
Your husband's sister?
Yes.
Okay.
So when I got married, I found a sister-in-law who was not married. And for whatever reason, I think she just hated me. But I was not the only one because it is everyone who was married there. And fortunately, the others were not living there. I'm the only one who was living. And you see now it is in the compound.
You lived in the compound of your parents?
Same compound.
Bus.
So whatever you are doing as you open the door.
Everybody
can see. When you put on an address, everybody knows whether it is new or the old one. And you know those petty things of living in the village. And it was not easy. Some of the things I never experienced because where we were living, it was a plot. So we didn't have many neighbors. So we were not used to interacting. So those things of this one has done what they were not common in my family. And then the way we were brought up, if my mother would hear you call another one, just a word. In the evening, you'll be given food and everything. Then after that, what you'll see is fire. You'll be beaten. And I remember like my brother, he would be tied with a rope, and then my mother would tell him he would be hanged there, and then she put firewood. So we were very disciplined. Here now I get married, I find grown-ups calling one another's names. It was strange, because even
cultural
as children,
shock.
Yes, I was not used to this.
Yeah.
So my sister-in-law would time when we were coming from work, like me now, I'm the one who was living there. The other one was living in Kale, and the other one was in Kitale. So she would watch and see, now I am coming. Now, so when I'm near now, she would start calling names. Look at her, prostitute coming from Nairobi. You cheat us, you go to work in Nairobi from Gatudu, see for servant, where do you get this money? Then I would pass her, she's studying here, I would pass her, then proceed. Then she
on your way to your house?
She would follow me, shouting. So even the neighbors now are coming near the road to see who is this. I would open the gate to my place, we enter with her.
You would talk?
I've never talked. That's why I'm telling you, boy, I think there are some things that God does to us, which even us, you cannot understand. Because imagine, I never asked her, even one day, what have you said?
Very seriously.
God
never responded.
Yes, never.
Wow.
8 years. I never.
You lived there for 8 years?
And it's not that I moved. She's the one who died.
Oh.
Twice my husband looked for a house elsewhere to harm me. Because it was too much, you know. Even if a time came and I stopped telling her what was happening, the neighbors would tell him.
Your then husband now.
So he would come and ask me.
Would she do that when he was there?
No.
Never.
When the brothers are there, he was very good. So she would follow me. I knock the door. The house girl would open. We enter with her. She will not be left outside.
No.
We enter.
In your house?
I sit down. I'm giving my son to breastfeed. I start breastfeeding as I take a cup of tea. She's here. Now it is me and the house girl. Look at them. Then she would tell the house girl, "Si hata wewe upelekwe kanisa uzae, uwe na kijana mutoshane."
My goodness.
In my presence. For whatever reason, I don't know. And it was very painful.
Why couldn't you find?
Because I tried to open my mouth, it's like God was telling me, keep quiet. Then she would call names, do things, then bang the door and go.
What was the problem?
The issue should be anything from we cooked chapatis and we never took to them. Maybe we slaughtered a chicken. My mother came to visit. I never called them to divide whatever was brought, anything, buying a new cloth. Then it is seen on the hanging lines. Before I put it on, names. You know, it could be anything, even what you are not expecting.
Did your husband ever talk to her?
Of course, many times. Until a time came and I felt, no, I will not be telling him. Because sometimes he would get so stressed.
Oh,
and you see, she was the type of, she would swear and do what I didn't do. Well, the whole Kijiji had. Until I saw now, me sit down with her to say she said and she's saying she didn't. I told God, give me the grace. I'll never tell my husband what is happening. Mabui sometimes she would come with a knife in the morning when the now that time my brother-in-law also moved home, so the sister-in-law was also there. So she would come in the morning and tell us to come out. She wants to circumcise us.
Oh,
in the morning.
Jesus.
And the neighbors would come to listen what is happening. Now it is circumcision on a Saturday morning. Now that you are not, you are not going to work. And you know those words which the grandmothers call people at home? Those are the words she used to address
and
us.
And in your mother tongue.
Exactly, in the mother tongue.
Oh, my goodness.
So anytime I asked my mother-in-law, why does this one do this? And then my mother-in-law one time told me, these children you are giving birth to, how do you know what they would become? They may be thieves, they may be OCG, witch doctors, or whatever. So leave Waboi alone. She's in her father's compound. So after that, would you ever ask
her? And she's spoiling my name. She used to be called my Waboi.
Yes, like you and me.
You too.
Yeah, you too. So at time came and I told God, now that you've decided not to remove this, because I was telling God, I used to hear that the people who go through this is because they did the same to their sister-in-laws.
Yeah.
So I was telling God, even my brother, Agua Menjega within the compound. So what am I paying God? And God decided not to answer me. So I told God, then we have to agree on this. Broke my ears.
Let me not hear.
So let her continue if you want her to continue, but let us agree. Broke
my ears.
And one boy, God did it.
Like he had blocked your eyes
exactly
on clothes.
God broke my ears.
This is a strange shaping.
And
yeah?
From that time, she would call. Later, it's my house girl who would ask me, do you remember when my boy said this and this? And I was telling her, she said it.
Sincerely, you wouldn't have heard.
Yes. Do you mean she said it? And now she would repeat to me whatever was it. But when my boy was saying it,
you never.
I couldn't hear. God broke my ears. Again, I remember one time, you know, as women, there's an instinct that God has put in us. When something is not right, you feel, no, I'm not comfortable. It's like something is happening. So that night, I remember there was a lot of moon. And I was feeling like there's somebody at the bedroom window.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was allowed. So I told my husband, me, I feel like there's something at the bedroom window. Then he told me, you are just afraid, just sleep. I told him, no. I walked. When I did the curtain like this, my sister-in-law was studying there. 3 a.m. What she was peeping? I don't know. 3 a.m. at the bedroom window. Sometimes in the morning, you'd wake up and find, you know, dirty clothes. She has poured oil on them, some 20 shillings notes. Those times, there were the notes. They've been put at the step at the door, front door. Now, I think she wanted to mean witchcraft or something of the sort. I would take the money, put it in the envelope, and take it to the church and burn those other things or throw them in the toilet. Anytime if you would come to visit me, she would come and sit at the door to listen whether we would talk anything about her. And that was the life, and I got used.
8 years?
Yes.
Like that?
Yes.
Then she died?
Again, I went for lunch hour at Bishop Wajiro's church one day. And God said, there's a woman here, and she explained.
There's another word of knowledge.
Yes.
Okay.
And she said, God says, you have passed the exam.
My God.
She
goodness.
Is going to separate you.
Hey, hey, hey. And the description fitted
me completely. You've been going through this in the hearts of your in-laws.
God is going to separate you.
And God says, you have passed the exam. He is going to separate you.
Where?
2 weeks after, my sister-in-law passed on.
Your 2 weeks are usually...
Yeah, I think God works with 2 weeks.
With 2 weeks for
me,
you.
Yes.
Was she sick?
Yeah,
she fell sick?
Yeah, she fell sick. But when she was admitted in hospital, actually, and another lady, I think God used to use people, another lady was sent, and she was told, God says you have to repent whatever you've been going to Mama Tim. You've been doing to Mama Tim. And
you are Mama Tim. Okay.
And she has always been silent.
Repent.
So she's the only one who can pray for you. But that time I didn't feel like I had the grace to go and pray for her. But after 3 days I went. Now, before the 2 weeks now, the final day of 2 weeks, I went, prayed for her.
And she agreed?
Yeah. After 2 days, everybody heard about it, including the sisters and the brothers, and everybody was like telling her to repent.
Everybody heard of this lady who had told
this lady
her.
Who came.
Okay.
Because okay, me, I didn't know the lady who came. So it's not that I had talked to her or anything. So now, when the lady talked to them, so they started now looking for me, telling me, you know, you are born again, just forgive. And I asked her, so you knew what I've been going through. Now this is the time you are telling me because I am born again, I forgive her, you know.
Oh my.
But I went and prayed for her. After 2 days, she was discharged. Let me tell you, when she was discharged. Now this time, even our house girl could not walk out. She used to throw stones. You are a witch. You wanted me to die. Now I'm at home. What will you do?
Oh.
You are pretending you are born again. You are just a witch.
Oh.
So now the second time, it's when now God said he will separate us.
Hey.
Yes.
A thorn in the flesh. That was a thorn in the flesh.
When God decides to train you.
Hey. He can use strange means.
He can train you. When you hear him say that, the same way God is passed through fire.
Now, really, Victoria.
Victoria, I mean, Wamboi, I'm gone through
it. Tell me something. Because that's now in the past.
Yes.
Looking back, what was that about?
Training.
Would you call this specific training that your sister-in-law was doing on you?
God was training.
Inaituaje.
Because when God said that I have passed the exam, which is this exam that he wanted me
exactly,
to pass,
answer the question.
It is because of this prayer ministry. I am a coordinator of an intercessory prayer ministry, interdenomination.
Yeah.
And it's for ladies.
It's for ladies.
Yes. So today, Wamboi, I hear all sorts of stories, including now this one.
Oh.
So anytime they come to me, leave alone those days
for
when
prayer.
I was telling God, before this lady finishes, give me a word. So today, as they talk, I remember, oh, it's that one. So as she finishes, I tell them my story. They feel, oh, yours is even worse than mine. So they go home encouraged. So that is the training that God was taking me through. Because he told me that now you have qualified, I can entrust women in your hands.
It was a test all the time.
Yes. It was real training. So that when today, any woman who comes to me, I don't think there is anything that I've not gone through here. First of all, Ntashituka, you mean, I think every time I have something to relate to.
Hey.
Yes.
So it was towards a prayer ministry.
Yes, it was towards a prayer ministry. Not even now the church, the prayer ministry for the ladies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you know, when the ladies are together, they can come out with stories and issues. Yes. So God had to ensure that I will not tell them theory. You know, one day God told me, go and tell the ladies, I don't like theory teachers. I love practical teachers. So first of all, God has to take you to the laboratory. Then you are trained as a practical teacher so that when you start before others, you will not tell them a story. You know, I had Victoria went through. You tell them I went through and here I am.
Yes.
So God had to ensure I had to do the practical training.
To get where he was taking
me. To get where he was taking me. So today now I understand.
Yeah. The path over prayer ministry.
Yes.
That's what the sister-in-law was supposed to shape you for.
Exactly. She was used.
To shape you.
That time I was feeling a lot of pain and sometimes I would feel I hate her. But then God would, you know, remind me, you have to love her.
How do you love her?
It was difficult.
As she follows you
into
the house.
Inside. Not outside. You know, some you hear the call names, but from the other side of the fence.
That one, sincerely, I'm wondering, did she have to come in? Why couldn't you tell her? No, at the door.
God had closed my mouth. I couldn't tell her not to enter.
Oh, no.
I couldn't tell her not to enter.
You found you couldn't?
I couldn't. But you see, later when God blocked my ears, okay, I would see her there, but I couldn't hear what she was saying. But later now, after she left, that's when I would feel a lot of tears, go to the bedroom after breastfeeding my son, then cry until I would feel relieved. And then the life continued. My husband told me twice to move. One time he was given a house in school. I told him, it is you to move. He moved alone, then came back. I told him, listen here, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee away from you. Now, you want me to flee away from the devil? Supposing we go there, wherever you are taking me, and then a neighbor is a
head like that.
Where would you take me? I told him, I will live in my own house with my son. You go twice. I never ran away from her.
No.
I sat there.
Are you still living there?
No.
You
now
you're
in
Gashi. All right.
Yeah.
All right. You had talked about the birth of two things, the prayer ministry and the church.
Yes.
You were to give birth to a church.
Yes.
where your husband would be the pastor.
Yes.
Take me through that journey now.
Okay. Still when we were in Gatundu, around 2005, God put a burden in me to pray for the church, the families, and the nation.
A general
burden.
Burden,
yeah.
All right.
And I talked to about 4 days, and we used to meet on Saturday evening to pray. So now when I moved this way to Gashie, that was in 2007, I also talked to some ladies whom I knew. The few I knew, I was new. And the way God brought us to Gashie, if we knew what Gashie was, we didn't have moved to Gashie. But God ensured that we just moved. You know, when the time came and God told me the time to give birth to the church has come, and at that time my husband didn't want to anything to be called a pastor. You know, he was seriously resisting. He didn't want to. Here God is telling me to give birth to a church. And whoever is supposed to be the father doesn't want to hear of it. I moved from Gatundu to Gashie in his absence. Yes. I called him. I told him, when you come from Mombasa, go to Posta, upande gari 108, tell the Makanga to arrive you at garage. I will pick you from there. Because I was feeling it is me whom God was talking to, and the time had come.
And somehow he's not
so
here.
So I had to move. This, you know, I was used to these things now. I had to. And that is how we moved to Gashie. Gashie, which I didn't know. In fact, somebody just directed me there and I got a house, and that is how we moved. So we moved, and when I invited about 10 ladies in my house and I told them what God was putting in my heart.
People you knew or...
Okay, now that I didn't know many people, I think I knew about 3. So when I told them, they told us we will invite our friends now.
Okay.
So my friends came with their friends, and we were about 10.
Yeah.
And my colleagues in my place of work. So I told them, they bought the idea, and we decided now on Saturday let us meet in Ampoletam and tell God to give us a name for this ministry. And God gave us Kingdom Possessors Prayer Ministry. Then on 17th October 2009, we started the ministry at Silver Mine Hall, Accra Road. And since then, we've been meeting every third Saturday of the month. But now we are not in Silver Mine. After the birth of the church, we moved now to Gashie. Now it is through this prayer ministry
now. Okay.
That now the church was born.
Ah.
Because some of the ladies who joined us were not going to church.
At all?
At all. So they would attend the prayer ministry, the prayer meeting that Saturday of the month. Then the others are preparing you for tomorrow. May it be in the ministry or in the life that we live. If we didn't build that foundation of struggling the way we struggled, because it was not easy. Nikuwa naka hapa, bele sunajua watu wakiwa na mizigo mahali wanaka.
I know.
Then we were alighting at the gala. I had to carry my things all the way to town.
Oh.
Because I could not afford even to get to.
To a number, yes. It would be a number
9. Yes. But today I'm not carrying. Today I'm not going through that.
It is better you did it then.
Yes.
Than now.
Yes. So both in the ministry and in the life that I'm living today, I've gone through training. It was very painful that time. But today, I thank God. I went through
Amen.
It.
Amen. Let me read for you some texts.
Amen.
Maybe I should begin with this one. You may know this person. Bishop Elliot Wanjohi?
Yes. He's our neighbor. Church. In
yes. Says glory to God. Pastor Victoria, for hearkening to the voice of God. We bless God for what he's doing in Gashie through your intercessory ministry. Bishop Elliot Wanjohi, House of Enlargement Church, Gashie. And thank you, Bishop, for being part of our audience today and encouraging our sister. Thank you. I'm in Gatundu. Was Victoria fellowshipping at the Oasis of Hope? That's it? Say it.
Yes, yes.
She's nodding.
Yes.
That's where you were once fellowshipping before
yes.
you moved.
Yes.
And Victoria has ministered to us during lunch hour at the workplace. And that's a great vessel of God. Bless you. And that came from Pauline, who is listening to us from Kangundo. Yeah. So, well, it's your place of work, maybe? Or you've ministered in various places, maybe?
Maybe. Visited.
All right.
Yes.
I need also a word. I've prayed and fasted for 8 years, trusting God for a job, but nothing. I have hoped every year would be different, but no. A graduate and CPAs, and I depend on husband even for offering. No capital for business, applying for jobs until nimechoka. What kind of training is this? The person is asking. What do you think?
God's training.
Yeah.
It's like God going through fire. And you see, let me tell you, there's something that happens when we are going through
yeah.
God's training.
Mm-hmm.
If you fail the exam, you'll have to repeat until you pass. So I don't know how this lady has been praying. Maybe she has been praying, murmuring, and complaining.
Yeah.
But God doesn't want that. He wants us to be grateful, even as we go through this. Otherwise, if we complain and murmur like the Israelites, we will go around 40 years around the mountain. And never proceed.
She must
so she
pass
has
her
to
test.
Look at, yes.
Whatever the test is,
she must
pass.
Otherwise, she will repeat until she passes.
Thank you.
Join us next week for another life-changing story on Profile, only on Hope FM, where you listen and live.